This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session on Open Air. My guest today is Don Landis. Hello, Don. Welcome to JPR.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go back in time a little bit, because originally you had planned to be our guest during our spring pledge drive, and then everything kind of fell apart, literally. What happened to you on your drive through Oregon?
Oh, man. I mean, it was a combination of car problems and nausea.
That's not a good trip. You probably spend an awful lot of time out on the road. Do these things happen fairly regularly, like little car problems or things like that?
Yeah, I think you're destined for... It's funny. I feel like this always happens to me, luckily, on days where I don't have big shows. Knock on wood, that hasn't happened so far. But especially on the long drives, I think there's something a little bit psychologically going on there. You know what I mean? When you have to drive for 9 hours or you have to drive for 10 hours to get to a place, it's a lot.
Yeah. Where are you now?
I'm in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
At a studio, right?
At my studio, yeah. I built a studio a few years ago with some friends. It's called Saltlands.
And where is home for you? Is it Brooklyn?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been living in Brooklyn for a long time. I love it. It's great.
Originally from where?
Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Grew up in Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
How did you end up in New York?
An airplane. No, I'm just kidding. I went to school here. I went to NYU for college.
And what were you studying at NYU?
Oh, you know, it was that misguided liberal arts thing that you do for a few years. And then I got an internship in a studio and I kind of devoted all my time to that.
I find this kind of interesting. You ended up doing some work in recording studios for quite a while. Were you interested in making music prior to that, or was the recording studio your entry into the music world?
Oh, no. I mean, I had always been writing songs and playing music since I could speak. So I think that it was a means to an end. Like I'm sort of headstrong, and I didn't like any, you know, of the guys. They were mostly guys telling me how to record my music. So I figured out how to do it myself. And that was all part of the process. And then I just became obsessed, and I fell in love with sound in the way that, you know, in the way that you fall in love with music, I guess.
Yeah. That experience working as an engineer, recording engineer, must have given you a much different perspective when it comes to writing and recording your own tunes.
Yeah, I mean, they're two totally different parts of the brain. But, you know, it's the creative part and the, I think the, I don't know, scientific part or something. It seems to go, I can either do one or the other really well at the same time, but never really both at the same exact moment. In fact, I found just stereotypically that a lot of bass players are often good engineers for some reason. I don't know why that is.
But yeah. That's interesting. Well, I want to talk about the new album called Bluebird. It is your sixth album. Is that true?
It's my fourth full-length album, and then I've done two EPs.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, before we get to that, though, let's hear you play something. What do you want to play first?
All right. Well, I'm here with Indigo Street on guitar, and we're going to do a song called Oh Brother.
Time to get to know each other in a little Panama. Try to walk the bloodline. Oh, sister, where has she gone? You never even know you'd miss her. Chalk it all up to fate. ask all the time. Leave your mother crying. You say, sister, oh sister, get off my back. Go on and lose your temper and never get it back.
That is Oh Brother, it's Don Landis live on Jefferson Public Radio, music from the new album called Bluebird. Don, I read that you lived in France for a while. How did that environment affect your music writing?
Oh, I'm such a Francophile. I started writing some of these songs when I was living in France. Two summers ago. I went on sort of a writing retreat and lived in Paris for a few months, and I made an EP of, I wrote a bunch of French songs, and that was called Mal Habillé, and that was really fun for me. Kind of, I think for any writer, it's good to think outside the box, and when your box is full of words that you speak, you know, in the 7-year-old vocabulary, really, it's a totally different box.
Were you very fluent in French before moving over?
No, I mean, I've had such a strange career. My first festival I ever played was in Paris. That was in 2003. And then because of that performance, I got a record deal and I toured in France off and on for like 5 years. Didn't speak a word, but I was playing with a lot of French musicians and touring all the time. And I think for the same reasons I wanted to get into music, I felt limited by my lack of knowledge of the language, and it's so beautiful. So I started listening to a lot of French music from the 60s and everything, and actually started learning to speak by translating the lyrics of, you know, Serge Gainsbourg or Françoise Hardy, or I would listen to their songs and print out the lyrics and translate them. And so,
do you still work at that at all, French?
Yeah, I spoke French last night at a bar, actually. I feel like there's a lot of people in New York that speak French, but I love it. I love the sound of it. I'm excited. I'm going to be touring over there in May. Mm. I'm excited to get back there, and I'm going to be doing some recording, actually, in the south of France, so that'll be fun.
Do French audiences know Don Landis and the sound of Don Landis the way we do here in the States, or are they familiar with a different aspect of your work?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I feel like because I kind of got my start in France, they were the first public to really receive me and, you know, write about me and everything. And that was interesting for me because I think of myself as a big lyricist. That's like my biggest thing. And yet I'm touring in this country where they don't really understand what I'm saying. So it was a strange juxtaposition, I guess. But yeah. Mm. But I love French audiences. They're great.
How do your songs generally come together? I've heard you talk about how you're constantly humming to yourself. Is that where all of these things begin?
I am. Oh, you can, yeah. Indigo can attest to that. I'm humming all the time. Yep. It's just, I come from a family of hummers. My mom, my grandma, we all hum. It's fun. I mean, it's fun for me. Maybe it's annoying for people around me.
Does that mean that most of your songs then start with melody first?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting. I mean, you play guitar, mm-hmm. and it's interesting that the songs don't start with some sort of chord progression that you're kind of just working on. They start with a melody.
Yeah, I think, usually there's some sort of visual for me, like an idea. you know, an image that comes, and then that's evokes some sort of melody, and then figure out how to put it all together. Hmm.
France is probably good for those visuals, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Louisville too, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm going to be spending, I'm actually going from France to Kentucky this summer. So I'm spending some time in France and then spending some time in Kentucky.
Do you get a different sense of visual images being in a relatively urban center like Brooklyn nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There are so many different parts of Brooklyn. Like the neighborhood that I live in has a lot of trees, which is good. I can't handle it when it's too industrial. It kind of knocks me into a weird headspace.
Yeah. Dawn Landis is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. Her new album is called Bluebird. She's live in the studio with Indigo Street. Will you play something else for us?
Sure. We're going to play a song called Cry No More.
No matter how hard I try,
Cry No More, that's Dawn Landis, live on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from her new album called Bluebird, out on Western Vinyl. Dawn, I have seen this record in many reviews described as a breakup album. Is that a fair description, one that you would give it?
Well, I mean, in so much as an album is sort of a snapshot of a time in your life, I mean, I definitely did have a breakup, so it was post-breakup, so I guess You could describe it as that, sure.
Yeah. Did the fact that both you and your ex were both in the public eye make that split more difficult to deal with?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it was tough. We don't really speak, so it was really strange to hear things through the media that I wasn't hearing personally, and really hurtful and just, strange. It's a very strange experience.
Well, and you both make music that is somewhat similar, acoustic singer-songwriter stuff. Does that mean that you guys end up bumping into each other on the touring circuit or festival circuit?
I haven't bumped into him in a while, but I have seen his poster at places I've been playing, which is funny, I remember playing at Headliners in Louisville last year, and someone had put our posters next to each other.
Oh, that's got to be weird.
I had to take a picture of it because I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, awkward, right?
Yeah.
The new album has no drums.
No drums. Only on one song, actually. There's faint, distant drums on Heel Toe, but yeah.
So you've kind of had to incorporate some other sonic techniques to create that sense of drive.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, I credit that all to Thomas Bartlett, who produced this record. He wanted to take me out of my comfort zone. And my comfort zone, I'd been touring with my trio for years. Josh Kaufman and Ray Rizzo. And Ray's an old friend. He's a great drummer. But not having drums was really, really interesting. It definitely made my guitar playing a lot more percussive, I think. Mm-hmm.
The songs on this album are, like many artists in 2014, they're a little hard to place. Are they folk? Or are they country? Are they blues? Are they singer-songwriter? Do you feel most comfortable in one particular genre?
I feel comfortable in all of them and none of them at the same time. I mean, I think I've taken a deep breath and decided it's okay to call it folk music.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like music from all of those genres. So, but I think at its core, I appeal to like the word folk music is. I don't know. It just feels old and good and sturdy.
Well, it's interesting now, isn't it? Because the term folk music has been applied to everything from Mumford & Sons, which is this massive, superstar band that's crossed over into mainstream, to really country artists because they're no longer embraced by the traditional country music industry. So everything else just gets labeled folk music.
Yeah, I mean, folk. The origins of folk music is storytelling. So, I'm attracted to. I'm a lyrics person, so I go to the words. So, I love pop music too, but it hits a totally different pleasure button in my brain. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you have a particular pop music guilty pleasure for those long road trips?
Oh, man. On this trip, it's been Mariah Carey nonstop.
Really?
Can't stop. It's so good.
Speaking of lyricists, Dylan, of course, an amazing lyricist, and you were one of a number of artists that did a song for a new Dylan compilation.
I did. That's a great compilation. Have you heard it?
I have. Yeah, we were playing it quite a bit. Dylan in the 80s. It's kind of a decade that many people don't know much about when it comes to Dylan. How did you get picked to contribute a song for that?
Well, I knew the two guys producing the record, and they asked me about it. And the first thing that came into my mind when they said Dylan in the 80s was Dark Eyes, because I had heard that song totally out of context. I didn't even know it was Dylan when I heard it, and I just thought it was the most stunning song. And then I did a little research and found, Patti Smith and Dylan sang it on a tour together, and that's her favorite Bob Dylan song, and Judy Collins sang it. Some of my favorites have also been attracted to that one. The lyrics are incredible, and the melody feels very, sort of hymn-like to me.
Yeah. I found it interesting that you've also written some film scores.
Yeah, yeah. I love doing instrumental music, too.
Are they the kind of film scores where it's you and your guitar, or did you actually do some orchestration?
No, I've done a bunch of orchestration. Mostly I'll write it out in MIDI and then get people to come in and play on it. I've done two features and a couple shorts.
Did you have a background in that at all, or was that a particular challenge for you?
No, I mean, I took some film scoring classes when I was in school at NYU, but I worked at Philip Glass's studio for a few years, and just being around that, and he was scoring so many films, it was really inspiring to see how, you know, how he was working.
Did that kind of work come easy to you, or was it a real trick?
I wouldn't say easy is the right word. I think because I'm not a classically trained musician, it takes me forever to read music. So that part of it was a big hurdle. But I mean, a lot of film scores that I love, I love like Hans Zimmer, of course, but I love John Bryan. John Bryan's like one of my favorite guys making, and Thomas Newman, like those guys are making incredible music for film. And I don't think of that as, you know, highbrow classical stuff, although I'm sure they have the training.
Dawn Landis is my guest live on Jefferson Public Radio. Her new album is called Bluebird. I would love to have you play one more for us, but before that, is it true that there is some jerk somewhere in New York that has a nearly complete unreleased Dawn Landis album?
What?
That an entire demo recording of yours that was close to being released was like literally stolen from you on the street of New York?
That is true. That was a few years ago. I tried to block that out. Yeah, that's before I made my record Fireproof. I had my computer and my hard drive stolen. They were both in the same bag.
Ugh.
And they had a whole record on them. But I scrapped all those songs and I didn't use any of that. And I just started over.
You never went back to any of them?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Maybe it was just too painful.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's like, you know, there's that famous, is it Hemingway lost just something, like on a train in Paris, he lost a manuscript.
Huh.
I think he lost his very first, he lost a briefcase with a manuscript, his only typed manuscript. And yeah, that was early on in his career when he was living over there. So I feel like, you know, I'm in good company.
Yeah. So, but there is some jerk somewhere in New York who's listening to the one and only copy of a Dawn Landis album.
I hope they're having fun.
Dawn, thank you so much for taking time to visit with us.
Thank you.
What do you want to go out with today?
This one's called Try to Make a Fire Burn Again.
I don't lie, just get by. Bless my soul, fill my bowl, I'm not gonna try to understand. I wait for time, an easy mind, I don't think I'm gonna understand. Ooh, getting out of hand, don't you? Ooh.
That is Dawn Landis live on Jefferson Public Radio. Music from her new album called Bluebird, help today from Indigo Street. Dawn, thanks again for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.